We'll finish up Mirza Hashem, the discussion of Bedikas Chametz today. So in Halacha Tess, it says, Kodem Shematchil Livdok Yivarach Asher Ki Chametz Osav Tzivanu Al Bir Chametz. Make a bracha before we do Bedikas Chametz, Al Bir Chametz. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to destroy our Chametz. Ve'afal pi she'ata adayin eino mevaro, even though right now I'm not destroying it, I'm not destroying it until tomorrow, mikol makom mevarach albir, still make a bracha on destroying the chametz. Lefi shemiyanach arbdika yivatzal tzachametz she'enu yadu alo. Because right after I do bedikas chametz, I'm going to annul any chametz that I don't know about. V'hu arbir lechametz she'enu yadu alo. And so for whatever chametz I don't know about, so I'm not obviously taking and destroying it because I don't know it exists, but by doing bitul chametz, I'm effectively destroying it for the purpose of Pesach. V'lo yafsik ben abracha l'tchilas abdika, shouldn't pause between the bracha and beginning the check. V'tov sh'lo yafsik ad gbar kol habdika, shouldn't even have any interruption between when I make the bracha and when I finish doing the bedika. If it's related to the bedika, so it's not really a problem to speak. Same thing like when we wash our hands for hamotzi. So you're allowed to say, pass the salt, because it's related to what's going on. Just not allowed to talk about anything unrelated. You're allowed to check a number of different homes or number of different buildings with one bracha, if you have in mind them beforehand and you're doing them right away. So as we discussed yesterday, the before we do bedika, we place pieces of bread in various places. Because we're concerned, maybe it's going to be a bracha levatala, it'll be a needless bracha if I'm checking. But I sort of know that there's really nothing there because I already cleaned very well. But somebody who does not check like they should, meaning, I'm just going to scavenger hunt for the pieces of bread where I already know where they are, but I'm not actually checking. The mitzvah is to check every place where chametz could be brought. So if I'm skipping a whole room, so I'm not really checking that room, I'm just going straight for the pieces of bread. So in that case, I didn't fulfill the mitzvah, b'dikas chametz, and I made a bracha levatala. It's another concept of chumra da'asa l'dekula, that I'm being machmir to put the pieces of bread so I don't make a bracha levatala, but that could, in and of itself, lead to a leniency, that if I only look for the pieces of bread, so then I didn't do the mitzvah properly, so then that's also a bracha levatala. So the idea is to place the pieces of bread, but to really do the thorough bedika. Any chametz that I leave to eat for the next, 14 hours or so, or that I'm planning to sell, should put it in a place that's secure, so to speak, that there aren't any children or animals or anything like that that are going to, or even just somebody else who's being mindless, and then it's going to end up somewhere else. And any chametz that I find after I check also, I'm going to burn it tomorrow. So I should really make sure it's secured. I don't know if I would say locked up or but in a fashion that it's secure and stable. So on the one hand, I have to make sure that it's not in a place that somebody's just going to mindlessly pick it up, or an animal might kick it around. But at the same time, it has to be somewhere where I can see it so that I don't forget about it tomorrow. Yudbeis achar bedika miyad yivatlenu. So after doing the check, so we nullify the chametz immediately. The ikar bitul hu baleiv. Fundamentally, when I do bitul chametz, when I nullify the chametz, so that's something that takes place internally. That's a part of the cognitive or even a sort of emotional experience. I'm detaching myself from the chametz. As much as you love chametz, you're detaching yourself for the next number of days. Any chametz that can be found in my property is nothing. It's of no significance. It's not worth anything. It is like dust. There's no need for it whatsoever. So Chazal enacted that we also verbalize this, and we say this formula that's in the Haggadah, after the bracha kol chamira, etc. If you don't understand what's being said, so you should say it in a language that you understand. Right. So this formula of kol chamira v'chamia is in Aramaic. So unless somebody is an expert in Aramaic, either because they've learned this formula so well, or their Gemara skills are very sharp, and they're doing Targum Onkelos and Targum Yonasan, and they really know Aramaic cold. So maybe it's better for them to do it in English, or if somebody's Israeli and there's a Hebrew translation of it available, so to do it that way. But there's two aspects of it. Really, again, fundamentally, the goal is that in my heart, I resolve that this chametz doesn't exist and isn't mine and isn't worth anything to me. But we don't just rely on sort of unformed thoughts. We verbalize it to make it real. But at the same time, if I make it real and I don't really believe it, so that's not really effective. Right? If I say I'm nullifying my chametz, but lamaisa, I'm not sure. Maybe I will eat that cake. So then the bittul doesn't really work. So even though I did bitul chametz after I checked for chametz, so after I burn it, I also do another bitul chametz. V'ichlo kol ha-chametz. All chametz is included in that. You say kol chamira, or in whatever language that one understands. It's a meaning to say that that the purpose of doing bitul the night before is that as I've done my search, is there anything I didn't know about? It's also included, and that's nothing. But then, meanwhile, I still have chametz to my home, probably that's planning on being sold, or I'm going to eat, or whatnot. So, at the moment that the prohibition of chametz kicks in on a rabbinic level, so we make a final declaration that any chametz whatsoever that could be associated with me is no longer associated with me. The general approach, the general formula usually says first, libatel have a hefker ka'afra da'ara, that it should be nullified and hefker, which is odorless, like the dust of the earth. So the idea of making it hefker is corresponds with the opinion of Tosfos that the idea of bitul chametz is to make it hefker. That's just it's onerous. Whereas for Rashi, it's part of the mitzvah of tashbitu that I'm literally destroying the chametz through my bitul. That's what it means to prefer it to be the dust of the earth. That it's literally nothing. Right? Hefker, the chametz still exists, just not mine. Afra da'ara, it's literally nothing. So Shechter suggests that really, first you should say that the chametz is ka'afra da'ara, that it's like the dust of the earth, and then it's hefker, because if I've already made it hefker, then it's not really mine to destroy. So first I should, destroy it, so to speak, by saying it's the dust of the earth, and but then also to declare it to be hefker, whatever does exist of it, that's hefker. Again, in deference to both Rashi and Tosfos. Anybody who has garbage in their garbage cans in the yard, so that has to be destroyed, because even if I call it hefker, so maybe maybe that doesn't, the fact that it's hefker doesn't mean that it's not on my property. So, at least on a Torah level, on a rabbinic level, really still have to destroy it. So, in our neighborhood, usually the garbage companies come on Erev Pesach to collect our garbage. But if not, so it should really be destroyed. So one way to do that is just to pour bleach or to make it inedible. In that case, the chametz is essentially destroyed, even if it's still in the dumpster. Somebody lives in an apartment building, so when you throw it down the garbage chute, so it's really not on your property anymore. So in that case, one does not have a problem. One of the few, but only few perks of living in an apartment. Okay, test vav. Matzah chamit beveso b'chol amod yotziyo v'yisrafo. So if I find chametz in my home on Chol HaMoed, so halacha is that I remove it, I burn it, I destroy it. And I make a bracha. I'm talking about on Pesach I find chametz. So if it has more than olive's worth, a volume, so then I make the bracha al bir chametz before destroying it. Aval pachos b'kazayis lo yivarech. But if it's less than kazayis, don't make a bracha. V'mitzah b'yom tov b'shabbos Chol HaMoed. If I find it on Yom Tov or Shabbos, I'm obviously not going to burn it. V'chein b'shabbos shechal b'erev Pesach, or if it's Shabbos erev Pesach before Pesach starts. So first of all, I'll not destroy it, but also asar l'tatol mishum d'havei mukza. It's mukza because it serves no purpose. I'm not allowed to even pick it up. So therefore, yichpel lav kli ad motzei Yom Tov v'motzei Shabbos v'az yisrafo. So then I put a pot or I put something over it that makes it sort of out of sight and demarcates that one should not tamper with it. And then after Yom Tov for Shabbos, I will burn it then. Let's say I find it on the 7th or 8th day of Pesach. So by the time Yom Tov's over, Pesach's over. So what do you want from me? So in that case, you don't make a bracha, because by the time you're making the bracha, there's no technical prohibition of having the chametz, except for the issue of chametz avar alaf haPesach, that we don't have chametz that existed on Pesach itself. Sorry for below bracha, filiyish b'kazayis. In that case, you burn it without a bracha, even if there is more than kazayis. But this is an important catch that seems like Rav Ulik in particular points out. Din zeh noheg rak bizman shelo machar kol chametz l'eino Yehudi. This applies particularly if I didn't sell my chametz to a non-Jew. I didn't sell my chametz to a non-Jew, or I didn't sell all my chametz to a non-Jew. So then the chametz that I find is my chametz and becomes my mitzvah to destroy it. But if I sell all my chametz, well, ima chayes kol chametz. So if I sell my chametz, harei hachametz hanimta ein oshelo ve'ein l'rishus l'daro. If I sold all of my chametz, so by definition, anything I find in my house is not my chametz, and I don't have the right to destroy it. That's gneva, and so stealing. And so, what's the solution? Elin came hitna came betchila ima ein yehudi. If you made a condition with the non-Jew, that if I find some sort of stray chametz that doesn't really seem like it was supposed to be there, it seems like I should destroy it. It's not really what I meant when I was selling my chametz. So in that case, if you make that sort of agreement beforehand, so that works. In that case, but if not, Yom Tov kofel lav kli, if I find the chametz on Yom Tov, I put a vessel over it. V'chol mod yidnehu ba'aron b'chadr sh'nimtzash ar chametz shemachar. On Chol HaMoed, when I don't have the limitations of mukta, so then I can pick it up, put it in the closet with everything else that I sold. Right, so it seems like there it's really on the rabbi to make the condition that any chametz that is being sold will include stray pieces of chametz. Rav Rosner suggested that maybe the non-Jew doesn't really care so much that you know, if you don't make an agreement, maybe the non-Jew doesn't care so much. If you find a few cheerios, you find a piece of piece of challah that fell under the couch or something. So they don't really want that anyway. So then you can destroy it. But Rav Willick suggests that that condition be made to avoid the issue of gezel. That just so you know, if there's any stray comments, it's going to be burnt. Okay.